You know, I had, you know, I'm in 1 Peter, and I've been kind of focused on that. And this week I started in studying 1 Peter, started getting ready, and about midweek, I don't know if you've ever had an experience where God wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, nope, this is your message for this Sunday. Get ready. And he changed it. And I thought, wow, okay, now it all starts making sense, you know? And this morning you're going to see what we're going to do is you're going to see how, I hope to anyways, Memorial Day and Awana. And what does it have to mean? What does it mean for our nation? What does it mean? And how does it all tie together? I just want you thinking about that as we go through this message this morning, because I think it'll speak to you, and I hope it does. I'm confident it will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us such a great nation to live in. And Lord, that I pray that we would never lose sight of the sacrifice and the privilege that goes along with that. And Lord, that we know that all blessings come from you, that you sustain nations, that you rise nations up, and you bring them down. And so, Lord, I pray for our nation, and I pray for all those serving our country in defense of that. Not just our military, but our police forces, our firefighters, and everyone else who serves faithfully. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to see the future, that our children are the future. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak through me. I pray that if there's anywhere where my words are not the words that you want spoken, Lord, that you would silence me and move me to where it is that you want me to speak. Speak to our hearts. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. I know I haven't preached from Deuteronomy or any of the Old Testament that often. And I should do a lot more. And we'll see. But Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I would ask you, you look on the back of your bulletin, and you can follow along the outline that I'm using. I would encourage you to take notes as we go through it. And I would encourage you later on today to go back home and read Deuteronomy, center around 5, 6, and 7, and also look around chapter 11, chapter 11 and 12. I would encourage you to read the whole book, but read those 6 and 11, and you'll see the same kind of themes echoed in that. We live in a great nation. A nation, I believe, blessed by God. We are a nation who has pursued freedom from tyranny. And tyranny can be defined as unrestrained exercise of power. Many have died protecting this freedom. Not just for our nation, but for people everywhere. In fact, 7 soldiers this week from our nation gave their lives for that cause. 7 this week in Afghanistan. In history of the world, the United States of America is unique. There has never been an establishment of a nation based on this statement. We hold these truths self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. In this statement, we recognize God as the Creator, and the sustainer of our nation. We know that God sustains and establishes nations for His goodwill and purpose. But I believe our nation's founding fathers were intent on establishing this nation, this country, on biblical principles. In fact, it is the basic biblical principles of grace, forgiveness, justice, and righteousness this nation has allowed for such immense amount. If you think about diversity that makes up our country, to allow other religions to take part in this, to allow all kinds of peoples, every walk of life is welcome in America. You can be successful in America. And I believe it's because of those principles. It is these principles that we have deployed the world over to confront evil and rebuild nations. What I fear is we have begun to lose these basic principles, and then the question becomes, how do we recover them? And you know, a side question might be, can we recover them? But how do we recover them? Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I'm a veteran myself, and I've had the honor and privilege of serving my nation. I gave the best years of my life to this country, 22 years. And I want to see America continue to be a force for good in the world. With that said, this is not my home. It is not my home. I am a member of another kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of God first and foremost. My heart is where the Lord places me, whatever nation that will be, it'll be for the Lord. He's put me here in America, but my heart is for the Lord first. Why would I make such a statement? Because I think it is far more important for us to understand the big picture. I do not put my faith in nations or the laws of government. They cannot change people's hearts. And if I thought they could, I'd have been a politician. But they don't. I know the truth about man's heart. And the only thing that can change a human heart is the living God through Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. As a Christian, my sole purpose is to live for the glory of Christ. My time here is short, but my time in eternity is forever. And I have to keep that in perspective at all times. Doesn't mean I don't love my country, because I do. But I understand who I am and where I am going. Does that make sense? Okay. So how do we recover these basic biblical principles in our nation, and why does it matter? And I hope to answer this question this morning. I think it all starts with our children. And I'll explain why. In the Bible, God established the people of Israel as a nation, and that's the book of Deuteronomy is the start of that. And right before he did, Moses gave him this final instructions in Deuteronomy. In this book, we see Moses reminding the people of Israel of what to expect and what not to do once they are established as a nation. Moses knows that he will not enter the promised land. He has led them for over 40 years from Egypt and through the deserts. He has consistently interceded for them to God directly. Now everything has been leading up to this time. So imagine that. Moses, who has led this people from Egypt in the desert, put up with all their grumbling and all the things, And he doesn't get to go to the place that they're walking to. Because of his own sin, he has to watch the nation go in before him. And the man he's been mentoring, Joshua, is actually going to be the one who's going to lead him. So think about that for a minute. When you have one last talk with this people, what would you say to them? I mean, what would you encourage them to do? What would you say to them? And Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 is the core of what he was talking about in Deuteronomy. And it says this, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit down in your house and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Deuteronomy 6:4 is the most quoted verse in the Bible, if you don't know that. It's the most quoted verse in the Bible. Orthodox Jews have been reciting this verse twice a day for thousands of years. They still do it today. Jesus quoted this verse. He said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important command." And then he added a second like this, to love your neighbor as yourself. He added a Leviticus verse. In doing so, he summed up the entire heart of the law, which was to guide the people of Israel. As they established a nation, that would be the heart of what they were about. The Shema, which is means to hear or to listen. Moses is saying this is something you have to pay attention to. Like right now, sit up and listen. Take notice at what I'm about to say. He's saying that if you miss this, you will suffer greatly. This is important for you to understand. You have to grasp this. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of conversation with one of your children. Like they just played with the stove. And you're trying to tell them. Or a better one, I can remember Jacob running out in front of a car and the conversation on the sidewalk. You have ever had one of those conversations that you're thinking, you're like, your life depends on this for you to learn. You can't run into the street. You will die. If you had that kind of conversation, you've either given it or you've received it, I guarantee you, in your life. So we all can recognize Moses. He is serious here. He is saying, please, see this. See this. He tells them that they're going to be separate. He's going to separate the Israelites from the rest of the nation around them. And this verse that they just quoted is what's going to separate them from everyone around them. Firstly, there is only one God, and he is Yahweh. There is no other gods. He is not many gods. He is one God, and he is sovereign. The nations around them would be worshiping multiple gods. Multiple gods. Israel was monotheistic, which is different from everyone else. And everyone who wasn't monotheistic, who didn't worship the God Yahweh, they were not to be included, not to be dealt with, because there was only one God. Secondly, this was a relationship based on love. It wasn't a relationship built on legalism or out of a sense of duty or necessity. This wasn't just a normal love either. This was a love that was much deeper. In the Bible, this love goes along the lines a husband and a wife or a father and son. This love was to be the core of their being. They were to love the Lord with everything from your heart. This idea about your heart gives some insight into the thinking of the ancient Hebrew life. The heart was regarded as the seat of the mind. From the heart, people live their lives. It was the source of one's being. The heart was what made a person. It was their essence. The idea didn't change in the New Testament. In fact, we see in the New Covenant, God would write the principles upon our hearts. Upon our hearts. And out of love and devotion to Christ and what He has done for us, we would follow His commands wholeheartedly. All of our heart, all our soul, and all of our strength. That's a theme throughout the whole Bible. There wasn't to be a shared love. It's not a shared love at all. Not at all. This love and devotion is complete and undivided. It is for Yahweh the Lord, period. It is for no one else. This love for the Lord was to be passed on to the next generation. His commandments were to be obeyed from generation and to generation. So Moses attaches special importance on teaching who? The children. The children have to know. So how would we do that? In the Holman says, repeat. But I like the word impress more. And I'll tell you why. To ensure the pressing on of this love for Yahweh, the parents, every member and every member of society is to aid in the teaching of children. That's what's being said here in Deuteronomy. The words and the works of the Lord is to be chiseled into the lives of the hearts of children. The picture here in verse 6 and 7 is that of an engraver. Of an engraver. He would use a chisel and a hammer to etch each word carefully into granite. That's what this word means, to repeat. It should be impressed. It would take patience and endurance, and once finished, would be permanent. So you can imagine that carefully working together, chiseling the words and the thoughts and the practices and the love of God upon the hearts. This was to be accomplished incorporating the covenant and the instructions into every aspect of life. In every aspect of life. That's how they were going to teach the children. They were to talk about it. The word of the Lord was to be on their lips. They were to share the stories of what God has done in our nations, for what God has done in their lives. Every conversation was to be seasoned with the words and the thoughts of the Lord. One of the greatest things that we can pass on to our children and grandparents, if you're listening, anybody has children in their lives in some way, shape, or form, the greatest thing that you can pass on to them is your own experiences with God. To share with them what God has done in your life. Let them see that. Let it be on your lips. Let it be spoke about all the time, that it's a part of your life, and you speak it out to them. When they walked, when they laid down, when they got up, God and His ways were to be the topic. Every opportunity that was given to share His words, His principles, but most of all, His love, was to be taken advantage of. Moses goes even further and says, bind them on your arms and foreheads. And you, if you've ever watched an Orthodox Jew, they literally have little boxes called tefillin that they have the verses, these very verses, inside them. And they attach them, they wrap it around their forehead, and they wrap it around their arm on the bicep so it's close to their heart. And it actually has the verses in it, and they wrap their arm with it. They literally took it, literally, to bind it to them. We're to write the words on the door frames in our houses and our gates so it can be seen when you leave and when you return. So it's supposed to take over every aspect of your life. They were to live it in front of the children. Every person, always. They were set apart by the Lord. And they were different from everyone else in the promised land. They were to be Yahweh's people, and he would be their God. This was the heart. This was to be the heart of the entire nation. And they were to impress this upon every child. And so why becomes the question, doesn't it? Why? Because everything, I mean everything, depended on it. Pick up on your Bibles if you have them. And let's just read starting in verse 10 through 15. And you'll see what I mean. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he would give you a land with a large and beautiful cities that you did not build. Houses filled with every good thing that you did not fill them with. Wells dug that you did not dig. Vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Fear Yahweh your God. Worship him and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods or the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the Lord your God will become angry with you and wipe you off the face of the earth. How do we get back to biblical principles our nation was founded on? And why does it matter? We started with that question. It starts with our children. It starts at home. Listen, parents. It starts at home. Grandparents, each parent needs to take responsibility to teach and to live Christ and his word in front of their children. It starts at home, in front of the children. Mom and dads are the model and to teach the children the word of God. The church is to equip and to train the parents and assist them in the teaching of children. They're not primarily responsible for the teaching of children. They are to equip and assist. Many churches today, many parents think the church has a responsibility for teaching the children. And I'm telling you, you are wrong in that thinking. That is not the responsibility of the church. It is the parents' responsibility to teach them. And we are to equip and assist them in doing that. Because who better can reach your children than yourself? The parents. Is it going to be Joyce who they see once a week? Or is it you who they see each and every day of their life with you? Who's going to have the bigger impact? Tell me. You know the answer. We have to get back to the basic principles, this basic principle, and to pass Christ on to future generations. That's why I think Awana is a start to assist parents in helping teach their kids the Word of God. Because if we don't get back to the basic principles, we will cease to be a nation of good. We will cease to be a nation that God can use for His good will and purpose. And frankly, I think we will cease to exist. I believe that with all my heart. We will cease to exist. We the people do not sustain this nation. It is not by our will and determination that holds everything together. It is not the collective goodness of our people that makes America great. It is God and His grace and mercy that makes this nation what it is. The founding fathers acknowledged this idea and were fearful of losing it. George Washington said this, "I am sure that never was a people whose reason to acknowledge a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States. It should be pain, I should be pained to believe that they have forgotten that agency, which was so often manifested during our revolution, or that they would fail to consider the omnipotence of the God who alone is able to protect them." Tomorrow is Memorial Day. I would encourage you to attend one of the local ceremonies honoring those who gave their lives in the defense of this nation. And I know every little town, I know in Wheatland where I live, there's a service at 11 o'clock at the cemetery to honor all those. And we have attended the last few years. And I would encourage you to support your local community in the support of our veterans. I would also ask you to consider what has been said here this morning. And to praise God during that time for His blessings He has poured out on us as a people. I would also ask and encourage you to think about the urgency in which we need to get back to teaching our children about the Lord. Realize we all have a hand in this. There's not one person here that does not have a child in their life in some way, shape, or form. And if you don't, find one. Because we all have a responsibility to talk, to walk, and to live the gospel. I'm going to close with another verse from Deuteronomy. It says this, in Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. "I call heaven and earth as a witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Love the Lord God, obey Him, and remain faithful to Him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us, Lord. Lord, and that You have blessed this nation, Lord. There's so many people that have given their lives and have lived faithfully to You in this nation and continue to live faithfully to You. Lord, I pray that You would burden our hearts for future generations. I pray that You would burden our hearts for the children that are around us, that we would teach them and encourage them and live You out in front of them. Let them see You in us. And let them grow up to model us, Lord. Let them be imitators of us, Lord. That's a huge responsibility, and it can only be fulfilled by You in us. And so we pray that You would be in our hearts for these children, for future generations, Lord, that You would continue to use us to further the gospel. And Lord, I pray for our nation that You would rise up a people for Your name's sake, Lord, that You would burden all of us to be people of prayer that seek You out first and that we would be used to be a blessing in this world. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know who you are, I pray that this morning they would give their lives to you, that they would confess you and repent of their sins and give their life to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.